that really your idea of how to run a newspaper?
I don't know how to run a newspaper, Mr. Thatcher. I just try everything I can think of.
Just do your job well and you'll be fine. Because when Ed goes, Jimmy's going to make me a news director.
It is episode 16 of Two J's in a Pod. I'm Mary Ellen Murphy from WGHN Radio.
And I am Sarah Leach from the Ottawa News Network.
Hello, dear.
Hello.
We're
it's
almost
been a minute
into the summer season. Before we start talking about local stuff, I just want to ask, did you read or watch anything with Jake Tapper?
No.
Okay. And can I ask?
I avoid cable news shows like the plague because I kind of think that they ruin my business.
I'm not sure why he wrote this book. I realize that the story needs to be told, but it almost comes off as gossipy at this point. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
And at the end of the day, Democrats need to point the finger at former President Joe Biden, who said that he would be a one-term president.
Yep,
you have to start there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's interesting, Democrats. I mean, I'm hearing from lifelong Democrats who are done, mm-hmm. who say, "I'm looking for a new party. I'm done." And about a year ago, maybe longer, somebody put a little bug in my ear about Governor Whitmer being asked to run.
Hmm.
And I told a few people that...
Well, she was on the short list for running mates for Harris
as
well.
But
even Biden when he ran.
Yes, but this was somebody in the legislature in Lansing said that there were rumors going around that Biden had talked to Governor Whitmer about running.
Hmm.
Apparently, and so I told a few people and they just kind of laughed. And this was before he stepped down. Apparently, Jake Tapper says that was true.
Oh, really?
And she said no.
Did he say why?
No. She just said, no, I'm not interested.
Hmm.
But anyway, I think the book is important in that, they were saying that access to Biden was cut off as early as mid-2023. I mean, there's just a lot to unpack there. But then, like, you watch video or you watch President Trump at West Point and the speech that he made, and you say to yourself, well, wait a second, is anybody taking a look at him cognitively? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess I look at it from the perspective of I don't like history being documented in books when the story is still unfolding.
Ah,
do you know what I mean? Like
I
kind of prefer the more retrospective when there's some distance in time.
Mm-hmm.
The election just happened, and this is still a working journalist, which I'm also not a big fan of. It's like when you do stuff like that,
I know,
projects like that, you're no longer working in the business.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the gentleman's agreement that I think mm-hmm. most journalists have with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
It's just a weird flex to me.
Why
do this? What are the political implications? Because now you're affecting the story and you're affecting the timeline and the narrative and how people are looking at people who are still in office,
right.
People who are still in, influential roles in mm-hmm. media. I mean, I'm not a big fan of that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
That's like me doing a tell-all book on OI right now.
Yeah, you're right. One of the things that he said, which he told Megyn Kelly, and they're actually friends, but he told Megyn Kelly that elected Democrats were actually laughing at the media because they couldn't figure out what was going on with Biden. They didn't dig deep enough.
Mm.
That really ticked me off.
I love this double speak about the media.
Yeah, well,
all roads go back to it being the media's fault,
I know,
right? Because
I know.
Kill the messenger and whatnot.
I know. I'm just disgusted. I just wanted to hear one of the interviews, and then I watched one with Katie Couric, and I just wanted to hear what he had to say. I thought it was a story. I was there for it, but I thought.
Well, don't you find it a little interesting though that there's more disenfranchised Democrats right now than there are Republicans?
Yes.
Because arguably, I would think that the Republican Party is more in crisis in a different way.
Right.
Because it is completely polarized and revolves around one person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no kind of off-ramp strategy of what happens when that person is no longer,
right.
Leading
right.
the charge.
Yeah.
And Democrats are, in crisis in a different way because they just don't have an answer to some of this. Frankly, just insane rhetoric that has now just kind of permeated through the national landscape. I find that incredibly interesting that Democrats would be the ones that feel that disenfranchisement more than Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's just been an interesting week. The last time you and I were together, we had a special guest, Sarah Riley Howard. That was awesome. A lot of people really enjoyed that interview and learned a lot about the law. Have you written a story about that yet for Ottawa News Network?
Not yet. You know, one of the challenges that I have, especially with these lawsuits, is that every time that I think I've got like a milestone reached, mm-hmm. okay, so note it and write about it, mm-hmm. so that to update the public, it changes within 24 to 48 hours. I think she was talking a little bit on that episode about the discovery process.
Yes.
And that is, it's a long and winding journey where you're getting emails and text messages and you're gathering deposition interviews, mm-hmm. and all sorts of stuff. And every time that you collect a new bit of something, it kind of, you know, enriches the overall body of evidence that each side has, mm-hmm. in these lawsuits. And I've been hearing some updates on some of the depositions that have been shared with me. I don't have them in my hand, but, you know, I've gotten sort of the gist of what has been gathered.
Ooh.
And I think that we're going to be seeing some documentation of some of those in some follow-up briefs. As Sarah mentioned, she is going to be filing some additional briefs in some of the lawsuits. So I'm kind of waiting for that to be released into the ether in order to write about it. But I think that we're going to see some really, not necessarily new information, but kind of confirmation of things that we suspected were happening during 23 and 24.
Okay.
With the various relationships with the Board of Commissioners and Administrator John Gibbs, Interim Administrator John Anderson, mm-hmm. Things that have been sort of alluded to in the media for quite some time will be confirmed. In terms of how certain timelines happen, who knew what when, what was being represented, how did these relationships work, who was making the decisions, I think that a lot of that will kind of solidify over the next couple of months.
Okay. There was a Ottawa County Board of Commissioners meeting Tuesday evening. Do you have an update?
You know, strangely, my update from yesterday is this meeting was over when I could still see light out of my window,
awesome.
which is so sad that is noteworthy. I was actually done by 9 and I was able to put my kids to bed on time.
Wonderful.
It was, there was a lot of consent resolutions. Mm-hmm. So we kind of got through the potatoes, and there was only a couple of pieces of meat, some board realignment things, nothing too scandalous, which I thought was kind of refreshing. The only things that I would note is that we obviously have the Campbell plant, which I'm sure we'll talk about next.
Yes, I was just going to bring that up.
and then they're considering going back to a 2-meeting-a-month strategy because some of the commissioners, including all of the Ottawa Impact commissioners, as well as Commissioner Doug Zylstra, they're really pushing to go back to the 2-meeting-a-month system, so, because they're saying that the frequency sort of could be frustrating or problematic for some of the department heads.
Ah.
Because as Commissioner Doug Zylstra put it, I thought this was a good analogy. He said, well, you know, if a department head needs something,
uh-huh.
and they miss the train for this meeting, then they have to wait for another month to get
train. Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, does that sort of gum up the works of the county business?
That's a good point.
Interim Administrator Gary Rosema said, well, you know, a lot of the staff have become accustomed to this new way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And what I thought was really interesting is that John Teeples, the chair of the Board of Commissioners right now, said, just so that you know, the 2-meeting-a-month system that was over the last couple of years, on average, cost us $90,000+ a year.
Mm-hmm.
By doing 1 meeting a month, we're down to $51,000 a year. I kind of sat and I puzzled about that a little bit, because part of that is staff time. And we were having such long meetings in 23 and 24,
mm-hmm.
that could account for some of the bulk of that cost. So I don't know if that's necessarily an apples to apples
interesting
thing, but it is noteworthy, like turning on the lights and heating and cooling the building, and
yeah, you don't think
staff
about that
in to wait to talk about certain things. I mean, all of that costs money, right?
I know they didn't have the closed captions on last night, the closed caption.
Oh, I didn't even
notice. Why did they do that? Sometimes they do it, sometimes they don't. It's frustrating for me.
You know, they might appear year later, I know that sometimes if I have to pause one of the videos and like put my kid to bed or make somebody brush their teeth, sometimes I will have it paused long enough where closed captions catch up. So that might appear later, because YouTube actually does that automatically.
Okay. Sorry, commissioners. All right.
Oh, but speaking of which, they did discuss a new system that they're going to go to. So,
oh, really?
So the clerk, the deputy clerk was talking about...
A new system?
Yes, where when they vote, instead of doing that roll call thing, and the clerk kind of calls out the last name, and then they say, you know, yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have an electronic digitized way of voting.
No.
Where it's kind of like, that's kind of how the legislature works, right?
Yeah.
Where they kind of punch in yes or no.
Yeah.
So then the commissioner said, well, that sounds super neat and clear, but when people are watching online, are they going to know how we voted? Like, is there going to be some sort of representation of that for people who can't attend the meeting in person?
You're right.
And so the answer was, well, there is a video component of whatever system that this is that they're going to transition to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they're moving off of YouTube, if I'm understanding that correctly. I don't know if that means that they go to a different platform or if this video component is uploaded to the county channel on YouTube.
Okay.
And I'm like, I have a lot of questions about this.
Yeah.
So while I find it very interesting, there could be some interesting changes that sort of, you know, disrupts the traditional norms.
Okay. Interesting.
I know.
Wow.
I know. I was like, oh, I completely missed this. I had no idea that they were working on that.
Let's move on to the Campbell plant, shall we?
Yes, let's move on to the Friday news dump that they put on us at, 6 o'clock on Friday on a holiday weekend, and everyone had to scramble to get the story up.
Do that.
That is,
you
can
don't.
I just say,
do
I one word.
That.
One word. Rude.
Yeah, you don't do that.
I was at a little backyard campfire making a s'more.
I was on vacation when that went down.
Yeah, I was at
my
friend's house.
Thank you so much.
And I was like, well, I have to go home because that's where my laptop is, because now I have to work unexpectedly again.
You don't do that on a Friday of a long holiday weekend. So I know Wood TV was out there yesterday. So it's a 90-day pause.
Yeah, I think consumers was a little taken off guard because, again, we're invoking some sort of wartime emergency powers act.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the U.S. Energy Secretary Wright. He issued an order to consumers to make the Campbell plant available to come back online, for 90 days, which is different than you can't close the Campbell. So that's, you know... What I read into that is they can remain operational, or they can just not dismantle and not remain operational and have the capacity to come back online if necessary for 90 days. Now, interestingly, the argument was because of peak summertime energy use.
Mm-hmm.
And in 90 days, we are going to be outside of that window. So unless the government... the federal government can come up with yet another explanation or excuse in order to delay what is a private company's business decision to keep this going. I don't see how this extends beyond 90 days because you lose that argument about the peak capacity of you know the summertime and whatever and the grid and stability. And honestly, if it remains offline for that 90 days and nothing happens, I think that they run out of arguments.
Mm-hmm.
But we found that you shared with me a slightly different release that you got from Brian Wheeler.
Said that, yeah, from Consumers Energy.
And I find it really interesting that he said, well, now we're evaluating with our legal department what our rights are or options are for cost recovery.
Right.
Which sort of indicates to me that, well, it's like... it's like when counties say you can't, or schools or whatever, when a legislature mandates something, right? But then doesn't provide the funding to do the mandate.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of that sort of construct. Well, don't force us to keep this plant open at a potential loss to our business and then not have a plan of, you know, compensating us for whatever those financial losses are.
Right.
And that tells me that this could end up in the courts.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Ibly.
I mean, I don't want to speak for consumers.
No.
I don't think that they're necessarily going to be aggressive in litigation, but I think that they are evaluating all of their legal options at this point.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, they should be.
Yeah. Who would have thought it would have gone this far?
And Sylvia Rhodey, who is a commissioner, county commissioner, mm-hmm. she used to be the vice chair. She made an interesting comment yesterday, and she said, "We really dodged a bullet on this." And I just thought, I don't think that that's the right sentiment. I mean, they're noting this as a political win. Mm-hmm. And Joe Moss, who used to be the chair of the county commissioners, he said that when they went to Lansing for that conference 3-4 months ago, mm-hmm. the majority of the board went.
Lansing or D.C., you mean?
D.C.
D.C.
They made a request of the whoever, I don't know if it was Huizinga's aides or...
possibly.
You know, whoever they were like interacting with.
Sure.
In some of these training modules and stuff. Moss was very clear. He said, we asked for them to intervene and to prevent the closure of this mm-hmm, plant. Mm-hmm. So this was a direct request from some members of the board that are in this faction of the board.
Okay.
And I mean, yeah, it's a political win now. I don't think that it will remain.
Right. And at the end of the day,
I mean, anything's possible, but I just don't see...
Yeah, anything is possible at this point.
I don't see this staying as a long-term arrangement because I don't think that you can force a private company to remain open because you're worried about what will happen if they close. I don't think that the government has the right to do that. It is a utility, though, so it is a little bit of a murky area, but, mm-hmm. you know, they have legal rights, too.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I bet you're ready for the kids to be done with school. Not having to get...
Well, then baseball starts.
Yeah, you're right. What am I thinking?
Tennis camp starts. You know,
what am I thinking? What am I thinking? I mean, yeah, you're right.
It almost gets more intense because now their schedules aren't synced up. They're kind of all over the place.
Oh, gosh.
You got tennis in the morning. You got baseball in the evening. We just finished up soccer for one of them. So, yeah.
I'm so glad I'm done with all of that. I had people from the Musical Fountain in here, and that was pretty cool. The Musical Fountain is just off the hook this summer. They've got all these new songs and choreography and all this stuff. I mean, it's really awesome. So I don't really have a whole lot. I'm you know, I'm struggling because I do the news, but I also host the show. So there's that. And then there's all these little musical elements. And so it's sometimes I don't have everything.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just don't. Gosh, what is going on with Crockery? Just real quick here, we'll wrap this up. Crockery Creek.
Oh, the Crockery Lake contract.
Crockery Lake contract.
Yeah, that is a weird situation.
They call it Crick out that way.
So when we last left our heroes, this was part of litigation in December of last year.
Right.
This is the Zimmer v. Ottawa County where he challenged the contract of Crockery Lake restoration, revitalization, mm-hmm. remediation, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of other things. So what the new board did was they said, well, we're going to ask for this contract to be reviewed by the courts to see if it's valid because they believe, meaning the majority on the board believe that it is not
a
valid contract.
Right.
So because the county took that step, the plaintiff in that litigation dropped that legal challenge as part of their lawsuit. So now it has been submitted to the courts to be reviewed. What is fascinating to me is that when this was bundled together as part of this litigation, mm-hmm. it first gets filed in Ottawa County because it's an Ottawa County matter. Mm-hmm. It's an Ottawa County contract. Mm-hmm. All of the judges in Ottawa County recuse themselves from hearing this litigation because they said there was a conflict of interest because it involved the Board of Commissioners. Mm-hmm. And so it got it goes through this process, this external body that then reassigns to nearby counties. So this one got assigned to a judge in Kent County. So now the contract has been submitted to the courts separately. And the judges in Ottawa County have not recused themselves.
Oh.
So now we had Zimmer, who was the plaintiff in this litigation originally, made a public comment at the Board of Commissioners meeting yesterday saying, well, isn't this an interesting turn of events?
Wow.
Why you would recuse yourself in one scenario and not recuse yourself in another scenario when the actual facts of this contract have not changed.
Oh, my.
Nothing has changed. The contract is exactly what it was in December. So I think that I probably will write about that because that doesn't make sense. And we like to write about things that don't make any sense.
Yes, we do. Is your pool open yet?
It's open, but it's not. I mean, I'm running my little robot nonstop. Yeah, it is heated.
All right.
Well, I'm still clean enough from the storm too, because we had a bunch of debris in the yard. So I'm still
anybody that
enough.
Knows me knows I'll be there all summer long.
It's all nice and shocked.
There you go. Although I'm a blonde and the chlorine will turn my hair green. So
you got to use that. They make it for kids where you put like a. It's almost like a conditioner. Yeah. They sell it next to that special shampoo and conditioner that for swimmers.
Okay.
You can put on like a pre-conditioner and mm-hmm. it actually prevents the chlorine from like attaching and like getting into like the fibers of your hair.
Yeah.
So that you don't turn green. I use it all the time during the summer with the kids.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's a wrap on this, don't you think?
I think so.
Okay. I'm Mary Ellen Murphy from WGHN Radio.
And I'm Sarah Leach from the Ottawa News Network.
And this has been Two J's in a Pod.
Well, that's cool, baby. I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling.